Last month, a national report from the Safety and Justice Challenge commissioned by the MacArthur Foundation was released, highlighting the overrepresentation of LGBTQ+ people within the criminal legal system. The report found that LGBTQ+ people are 3 times more likely to be incarcerated than the general population, and more than twice as likely to be arrested compared to straight people. Rates go even higher among LGBTQ people of color, and the outcomes can be worse the younger you are. The report was authored by Jane Harith, assistant professor of social work at UW-Milwaukee. She says the goal of compiling this data was to highlight existing research in this area and use it to share with others who are trying to address this issue. Harith joins me now to share more about the report and the pathways that contribute to this disparity.
Some of the main issues in pulling together a report like this is that there is not a lot of research in this area. And some of the reasons for that, one of them is that a lot of institutions within the criminal legal system don't collect data regarding gender identity or sexual orientation. Also, people who identify as LGBTQ+, for many of the reasons outlined in this report, may feel uncomfortable identifying themselves as LGBTQ+ on a survey that's conducted within a jail or prison because they're concerned about that increasing the likelihood of them experiencing victimization or discrimination. And then in general, the issue with lack of research among or related to LGBTQ+ communities, that often this community is overlooked by researchers and understudied. And so all of this research is part of a broader movement to pay more attention to the needs and experiences of LGBTQ+ individuals. But that being said, there is a lot of great research that is emerging, that is being conducted. There is increasing attention being paid to the overrepresentation of LGBTQ+ individuals within the criminal legal system. And so this report was an opportunity to highlight some of the research that's already been conducted and try to identify some areas in which more research is needed.
So what were some of the biggest takeaways for you about LGBTQ+ people and incarceration rates?
Sure. Some of the big takeaways are just the staggeringly high numbers of LGBTQ+ individuals, particularly LGBTQ+ individuals of color, who have been incarcerated or are currently incarcerated, have been arrested, have had other run-ins with the criminal legal system. As the report highlights, LGBTQ plus people of color of all gender identities, LGBTQ plus youth of color, transgender women, particularly transgender women of color, cisgender women, especially cisgender women of color, all are among some of the groups within the LGBTQ plus community that are particularly impacted by criminal legal system involvement. Some of the other statistics that are included in this report are related to the experiences of folks after they've been arrested or incarcerated, which includes disproportionately high rates of victimization, including by prison staff and guards, lack of access to medical care, particularly transgender affirming medical care, lack of access to HIV medications, and disproportionate rates of being placed in solitary confinement. So lots of other kind of cascading negative consequences for folks who are LGBTQ+ once they're already inside the system.
I want to touch upon the solitary confinement piece that I found really interesting in your report. So some of it was at the request of the person who was incarcerated, but also about half of the rates was forced solitary confinement. Can you explain that?
Sure. Yeah. So that particular statistic came from some research that was conducted by an organization called Black and Pink. They did a nationwide survey of currently incarcerated LGBTQ plus individuals. It's among one of the only surveys that has, and one of the largest surveys of incarcerated LGBTQ plus individuals. And it was really an amazing feat of both organizing, communication, network building with currently incarcerated people. It's a really, really amazing report, and I encourage folks to check that out. But they found that among the people that responded to their survey, that a large number of them indicated that they had been placed in solitary confinement. And like you said, some of them were there by choice. They had, you know, felt like that would be a safer option for them to be segregated from the general population within the prison. But a lot of them were not there by choice. And so that has a lot to do with particular policies or practices at different institutions that are making policies about the housing designations for LGBTQ plus people when they're incarcerated. But often those are not policies or even individual decisions that are being made in consultation with incarcerated folks. And so it's really important when we think about policy changes that we think about how to include the voices of people that are most impacted by this issue, by people who are currently incarcerated, and what feels safe and what feels like what they want and need.
What did you find to be some of the key or most prevalent pathways that led to LGBTQ plus individuals getting into the criminal legal system?
Sure. Yeah. So in the report, I highlight a few of the many pathways. One of the kind of key pathways is related to overlapping factors of homelessness, poverty, and unemployment. So this, of course, is a pathway into the criminal legal system for folks regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation. But we know that LGBTQ plus folks experience higher rates of homelessness, particularly LGBTQ plus youth. And we know that oftentimes homelessness is related to family rejection, to young people being pushed or kicked out of their families when they come out as LGBTQ plus. We know also then that lots of folks are engaged in forms of criminalized survival in order to meet their basic needs. So things like perhaps theft or sex work. And we know also that people are often excluded from other forms of employment because of LGBTQ plus identity. That can be particularly true for trans folks whose names and gender expression may not match what is on legal documentation. So it's sort of a combination of lots of different factors that lead to folks engaging in criminalized survival, doing what they need to do to survive, and then being punished because of that. Another pathway has to do with experiences of victimization and violence. We know that LGBTQ plus folks are experiencing higher rates of many different forms of violence and victimization, including child abuse, intimate partner violence, and just sort of bias-related violence, street harassment, or other forms of violence being targeted because of gender identity or sexual orientation. And often folks are criminalized for defending themselves against those forms of victimization.
Your report also found that the younger a person is, the worse the outcome. So can you explain that a bit more?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a number of different factors that are at work here. One is that young people, particularly LGBTQ youth of color, are particularly vulnerable to many of these pathways and experiences. So for example, all of the things that I've already mentioned, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, violence and victimization, we know that LGBTQ plus youth and particularly youth of color are experiencing all those things at even higher rates. We also know that once people are involved in the criminal legal system, the likelihood of them continuing to be involved and also continuing to experience poverty, homelessness, unemployment, violence, and victimization because of that involvement also worsens. So it becomes sort of this revolving door of people are inside the system and then they can't really get out of it once they've already become involved, become trapped in the system. And we also know that there's something really significant about the ways in which schools impact involvement in the criminal legal system. And researchers and activists use the term school to prison pipeline to identify this trajectory that begins in schools and ends in prisons and jails. Essentially, the school to prison pipeline refers to a range of policies and practices that harshly punish students for any sort of rule infraction. It's things like zero tolerance policies, where students are automatically suspended or expelled for rule infractions. It's things like having police officers stationed in schools and schools sort of outsourcing discipline to the police. It's things like policies in schools that really harshly punish any sort of fighting between students. And there's increasing research that indicates that youth of color are particularly vulnerable to the school to prison pipeline. And a growing body of research also is finding that LGBTQ plus youth, and particularly LGBTQ plus youth of color, are also disproportionately impacted by the school to prison pipeline. There's one other pathway that I wanted to highlight too, and I think it's a really important one, but it's related to overall how LGBTQ plus identities get constructed as deviant or criminal. Historically, we can tie it back to legislation and laws that punished folks for wearing clothing of the quote unquote opposite gender, laws that criminalized homosexual sex. A lot of those laws have been repealed or are no longer on the books or no longer in force, but there's this legacy that they've left behind of associating LGBTQ plus identities with deviance and criminality. And I think it's really significant still today because we have a increase in legislative attempts across the country to punish or restrict or criminalize LGBTQ plus identities or accessing healthcare, accessing public accommodations like restrooms or locker rooms, and a range of other forms of legislation that are attempting to do the same thing of associating LGBTQ plus identities with deviance or criminality. This is sort of influencing all these other pathways, and addressing some of these larger issues is also an important part of addressing this overrepresentation.
Yeah, this overrepresentation amounts to about LGBTQ people being 3 times likelier to be incarcerated than the general population, and more than twice as likely to be arrested compared to straight people. So we've touched upon a lot of these things, but to you, in compiling this data, what do these findings ultimately underscore to you?
They underscore a couple things. One is the importance of including the voices and experiences of LGBTQ plus folks in broader conversations about addressing the crisis of mass incarceration in our country. It's important that folks most directly impacted by this issue be centered in our research and in our organizing and in our advocacy efforts. So it's my hope that this report will draw more attention to this issue and ensure that we are thinking about the needs, experiences, and these specific pathways as they impact LGBTQ plus folks within this broader work. I think also by identifying some of these pathways, I hope that I'm also making some connections between the many forms of violence and discrimination that LGBTQ plus folks experience and these types of outcomes, including but not limited to criminal legal system involvement. I think there are increasing attacks on the rights of LGBTQ plus communities, and this report demonstrates the very harmful impact that those attacks can have. And if we want to address not just this issue of criminal legal system involvement, but the overall issue of discrimination, violence, and bias, we need to pay careful attention to these many different pathways, these different threads, and find points of intervention. There's multiple points of intervention that are highlighted within this report. There's lots of different ways to try to work to address this issue. And individuals, wherever they are working in the in or outside of the system, whatever areas of interest people have getting involved in, there's lots of different places to get involved to interrupt these pathways.
Well, Jane, I want to thank you so much for looking into this research and helping explain it to us today.
Sure, thank you so much.
Jane Harith is an assistant professor of social work at UW-Milwaukee's Helen Bader School of Social Welfare. You can find a link to her report on the overrepresentation of LGBTQ plus people in the criminal legal system at wuwm.com.